Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I talk to the spirit?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Speaking of infrared, do you remember WAP?
Yeah. I was thinking about WAP today.
Just on one of my thoughts.
Yeah. No, someone made a joke about that included WAP earlier, and then I was thinking about all the times that I was on WAP.
Yeah.
It's about 9 times.
Yeah. Take about 10 minutes to load a web
cost
page.
Me £4,000.
I used to download games over WAP. Yeah.
You downloaded
games?
Say
what we're all thinking, mate.
What?
Porn was a nightmare, wasn't it?
There's no point. I don't even have...
Tantalising that.
I don't there's even have memories of porn on it. Yeah, but it wasn't
WAP porn.
My mum...
The phone I had couldn't even display pictures. It was always like pointer list porn.
Remember when I was younger? Good.
I feel like this is going to be the start of the podcast.
On Amiga 500, we had this like strip poker game that came free with the magazine that I found in like our big stash of floppy disks.
You, today, mate.
You had a stash of floppy disks.
Yeah, we all did by then.
Who didn't?
It was the early 90s. And in the back of that, there's this strip poker game. And there was one of the women was like an astronaut. And I didn't know the rules of poker, so I basically get her helmet off. It's like, she's going to die.
Yeah, she's dead.
She's going to die. I have really concerned. It's like, she has probably a PhD in at least two disciplines.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm demeaning her in space.
She's got multiple
places. The most dangerous place to demean someone.
She's got multiple degrees. She's being stripped off, and she's going to die as a result.
And I'm like, seven in my pyjamas, and I've snuck downstairs.
Seven?
You kept your pyjamas on.
Did you not have to learn poker? You thought, I'm going to learn poker and might help her out a little bit?
Because like she's going to die.
The better you are at poker, the quicker she dies.
She's going to die. Well, she's taking her helmet off and her head's exploded.
Yeah, that's it. The helmet comes off first.
I heard into the airlock.
I heard that was fake. Yeah. I heard your head doesn't actually explode in space. Like if you release the airlock of a thing, it doesn't explode.
What is
it?
That'd be great. Every
I guess
from
be
the
more
wrong
on
cup,
a planet.
I think you just like age.
Every hand you win is actually just part of like a 0G courtship. Like she goes into the ship and you've. Well, you don't have a lit candle because it would explode all the pure oxygen in the air. Mm. But it's just like a little light bulb in the middle of a floating table. There's like, I don't know, steaks just hanging
steaks
around.
Steaks floating
in the air.
About.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Well, thank you for listening to that interesting ramble to begin the podcast. I'm Roy Powers, and I'm very, very excited to be hosting the first in years IGN 4-way. I mean, it's been a while.
That makes it sound way more sexual than it needed
to. That's not the name of the podcast. The IGN 4-way.
Can it be the name of the podcast?
We're going to rebrand.
So today I'm joined on my left by...
Oh, hello. I'm Joe Scrubbles.
And also joined by...
Daniel Krupa.
And Dale Driver.
This is all going on.
It's already chaos.
It's thrown off because there was two to his right.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. Yeah, it's like, who's it going to be? I'm excited. As long as I've been at this company, we haven't done a four-person podcast. So, high expectations.
What happened there was a gap when you tried to introduce me. You spoke over Krupa introducing himself, and you didn't even introduce Dale.
It went to shit. You left a beat when I said my name, and he talked over me.
I'm going to leave. You guys do a three. You guys just do the IGN three.
You want to leave? Just be quiet.
Get back on track, Roy. Come on.
Back on track. Okay, the first thing that we're going to be talking about today is Anna. Now, we've obviously been playing tons of Overwatch, too much, if anything. Mm-hmm. We're at a really annoying point where a new champion has come out where if you play any of the public games, you are essentially on a team of Annas. It's you and five Annas, unless you're playing Anna and then it's six Annas.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't seen that at all.
No. We literally just played a game at lunch with five against five
Annas.
Yeah,
all right. Four Annas. One game.
And it worked, and they won.
We won.
Won that one. McCree and...
Oh, no.
No, we won.
We did all right. But they won for ages.
Yeah.
Oh, we were doing
I just remember that they were
But
good.
That's the only time we've seen it, isn't it, really? Like, every other time, it's usually one max two.
Not ranked, obviously, because you can't character stack.
I feel like we're getting bogged down in...
in the nitty-gritty of Anna.
And how many... She's been quite popular this weekend, but I reckon... that's going to die out when people.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. Because she's terrible.
You all just want to have a little try.
Watch out. Oh, watch out.
I'm poking the bears. That's my job as podcast host, to poke
I'm
the
with
bears.
You, Roy. I'm with you.
Thank
I'm
you,
already curious about this. Yeah. She's not terrible. I came in, I hadn't played all weekend. I came in and everyone's like, Anna's rubbish. I played with her. We won 3 matches, and the match where there were loads of Annas against us, they did really well. So she's good. Like, obviously very
people
good.
People who just don't know how to play her yet.
Yeah. Well, I know that's a large
or
part of it.
People who
as well.
Don't play snipers generally, don't play support generally, are like, oh, brand new character, I'm going to give it a go. I've seen people using her health grenade as like a personal health grenade.
Yep, same. I've only seen people use it as a personal health grenade.
Rather than as kind of an offensive strategy of blocking the other team.
2 Roadhogs from healing today, and then we battered them into the floor, and it was beautiful. Because Anna's great.
Yeah, no, I was quite harsh when I said that she's trash. Everyone I've seen play her so far is trash. If I go on to like a YouTube highlight video with some dude who's got like 2 million subscribers, I'm sure he's going to be slaying as Anna. He's probably going to be wrecking people. But from what I've seen, the difficulty level of that character is pretty steep.
Well, it's interesting because when I was playing with her, it seemed, I can't tell and I haven't played the PC version, but it seems like there's a very like forgiving auto aim on her shots. Like whenever I was shooting towards you guys, I always seem to be making the hits, and I am not a good sniper at all. Also, you really don't have to use her like scope unless you're massively far away. It's quite easy to just shoot from like the scope.
Well, I'm fairly sure there's a degree of auto aim in place on
console. Yeah, well, that's totally interesting. They haven't talked about it, but I can definitely see that happening.
Oh,
and
yeah,
as it works, like I was making most of the shots I wanted to. And it was just, I was having a really good time, like running around buffing people, stopping other people from doing stuff.
Do you use her trank gun much?
I used it a bit. I've only, because it's quite similar to Roadhog's hook in the way, in that very slight delay between it going off from you pressing the button. But it's just long enough that you kind of have to lead targets quite a lot. So I was only really hitting big people like Roadhog and Reinhardt, which is quite useful in and of itself.
Yeah.
But like, the idea of hitting Tracer with it at the moment is so far away because she kind of raises it and then shoots. So you've got this weird little...
While they're trained, can you take, like damage them?
They wake up as soon as they get hit.
Okay.
So just stops them whatever they're doing.
So you can do one free shot, essentially. But they stay asleep for ages. I didn't realise, but I got put to sleep and their team just ignored me. And I was there for like, I think it's about like 8 seconds.
I had that as well, yeah.
You're just lying on the floor as everything's going on. It's terrifying. Oh, it's really good.
My problem with her is she seems like a clash of ranges, like, because I either want to be in a sniper position or I want to be in full force, like the front line attack. And her L1 and R1s, what is it, the health grenade and the trank gun, they seem like they're quite close range things, whereas her main weapon is sniping range.
I think the grenade goes a lot further than it seems. I mean, I do think trank gun's definitely a close-up thing. That seems tough.
I do find it a really weird choice for if you're like a game this big and this popular and the first character you're going to introduce to it is like a support sniper. Like that's such a unique combination of classes that I don't know. It just seems a bit weird to be like the first character that you have as DLC, because the easy one would be to do like another tank or another, you know, attack champ.
But don't you find that more interesting?
Because I don't like sniping
and she's a mum.
And I don't like mums.
Mums. What?
60-year-old mums.
Yeah.
How can you hate your mum? She is one.
It's just, I don't know. Like, I do realize, like, part of my dislike towards her is that it's just not my personal style. Mm. But I think also the fact that any Annas I've played with have affected the win-lose ratio of my group. Not pointing out anyone in specifically, Joe.
Won 80% of games today with me.
I'm kidding. I think I've seen one game where the Anna like successfully buffed a player who then took a control point. Not talking about you.
No, actually, like the buffing thing is definitely something that needs to be worked on as a team.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If you're playing with strangers, if you're not able to go, I'm going to buff you now, you should go. Like, they could just turn around and run off with your ultimate. Yeah. Just be like, that's it. I'm scared.
Yeah, like, it's definitely a group thing as well, because I had that. I was playing as Reaper, and I went in, used my ult, die, spun around, like, killed 2 of them, but I was getting hit, so then I ran around the corner. And then Anna hit me with the buff ult and made me really strong. It's like, I'm going to be in this corner for the next 5 minutes waiting for the health to respawn with just, like, these super guns. Yeah. It's like, you do kind of need that communication to, like, successfully...
Do you think people listening to this podcast who don't play Overwatch.
Hate
just
us.
Like, they're switched off by now.
Every week.
Every, Christ.
They need to play Overwatch.
It's a sign that they should definitely be playing Overwatch.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Yeah. Sort it out.
Come on, play with us. Like that one guy pyroflamed. We really didn't have a good time.
Was that after Drunken Master as well? Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. That was the night I fell off my chair.
Broke it. And we found out that you actually broke your chair. It's
really?
Actually, it's broken.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I was waiting for any of you to finish that one.
Join
like three blank spaces.
It seemed like you were going to change that into a new idiom.
Yeah.
No, you got to keep up.
I thought you had some.
You got to keep up with the ancient idioms.
I'm the tracer of podcast hosts. You think I'm going one way, but I reverse time and now I'm over here again. So you just got to keep up.
No, we thought you were going one way and you did.
Yeah.
You went exactly that way.
Unfortunately, you went exactly where we were.
We're saying you didn't do that.
Sorry.
You're Reinhardt just charging in the inevitable direction.
I can't believe we've gone from... We're now applying Overwatch.
We're just completely
unconnected stuff.
Need another frame of reference.
It's fine. We don't have to talk about Overwatch anymore. We can move on because we did something else really cool this week was we got the opportunity to go visit Thor Park.
We did.
I'd never been to Thor Park before, which a lot of you couldn't believe. No, I've never been. And now I can never go again because...
Because we had too good a time.
We had too good a time.
Wow.
Oh, good for you.
Sorry.
Oh, good for you. Too good a time, if anything.
We three went to Thor Park. You were on holiday, though.
But why? Do you want to just clarify why this is?
Yeah,
rather than just day out for you.
That's it.
We went to go check out Darren Brown's new ride there, the Ghost Train. Now, the main reason we were brought out to check it out was because it's like one of the first rides that I've seen that really utilizes virtual reality. The Vive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Vive headsets, yeah.
Yeah. What did you guys think?
It's crap.
Yeah, I'm with Joe.
This seems to be the general consensus. As someone who wasn't there but was following social media with a lot of people I know who attended, it seemed like uniformly people did not like it that much.
Balls!
So what is it?
Okay, so it's...
Walk me through it.
Essentially, you queue up for a long time. And you go through two.
We were at a privileged event as well, so we didn't queue up half the time.
No.
To queue up.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a long queue.
Right. Well, that was Dale calling you scum
and himself by association.
The general public.
Yeah. We were
not elitists like ourselves.
This used to be a podcast of the people.
The people. I'm like the people. I had a meal deal for lunch. And then bought additional meat.
Which you put a steak into. Rory's lunch was he bought a steak and he bought a Sainsbury's sandwich, which he opened up and put a steak into it. Like the true decadent he is.
Yeah.
He's like hedonism bot.
Ordered it in from Gaucho.
While Alicia and Dale fed him grapes.
Yeah. I drizzled chocolate syrup on my chest.
Oh my God.
Oh, you revealed a lot about yourself there, didn't
bloody
you?
Hell. Anyway, so you queue up for a long time on Darren Brown's Ghost Train, where you're assaulted by loads of posters about fracking. Like, it's all about how fracking's bad. Which is a weird theme.
So the subtext of this ride is about anti-fracking.
No, there is. It's genuinely an anti-fracking ride. You're not meant
fracking. It's just a documentary in Vive.
Now, we did tacitly agree with the hologram of Darren Brown that introduces you to the ride not to break the secret. And it would actually kind of be not cool of us to do that.
Like, I feel there's some things we can say, though.
Yeah, what we can say is that if you've used virtual reality before for a game... You've almost certainly played something that looks way, way better.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I don't understand who made the thing.
Interns. And
I can't tell. So the one thing that's very interesting.
Photoshop.
The one thing that's very interesting about it is you all sit in the same, like essentially in a couple of rows in the same area. And again, I don't want to give away too much.
It's a train.
It's a train, but the way that works is a surprise, and is probably the best thing about it. But you all sit in the same space on this train, and where you put on your headset affects your viewpoint. So it is like you go into an isolated version of the same carriage you're
in.
Which is really cool. So I can't tell if it's all working off of one single, like, simulation or whatever, and that's why it looks crap, because it would have to render so much more.
I didn't get that impression.
Well, I can't tell, but basically it looks really bad.
Yes.
And it's a massive disappointment, because the initial thing of putting it on and seeing everyone in the room disappear is amazing.
Yeah.
And then when stuff starts happening, you're like, this looks bollocks. Like, it takes you out completely.
I mean, it starts off quite promising, I feel like, because
there's a cool...
not to try and spoil anything, but there's elements of, like, realism in there. So it's almost like a holographic. You're seeing, like, real video of real things. And those parts look okay, but it's when more animated
shit kicks off
starts to happen, where it just looks really nice.
Because it's kind of, and again, this is one of the cool things they do, is that it's kind of broken up into different parts. So part of it is in virtual reality, and then the events that happen in virtuality, you're taken out of it, and then you're kind of, it becomes a live action, and you're rushed through.
There's like a performance element.
Yeah. Exactly, you're rushed through the events that have just happened. But the only problem is, like, this ride that starts off with this mystery and a lot of, like, the fear and the scares and, like, the jumps in virtual reality, then in his second half just becomes just kind of a video of, like, how cool virtual reality is.
It's a real shame.
There's no scare in it anymore.
So it seems like the execution lets it down really badly. Like the Haunted Mansion in Disney has been around for decades and decades, but still holds up, even though that uses a lot of magic principles. It's like tilted glass, it's Pepper's ghost, and it looks like the ghosts are behind you, but it's really simple technology, and it's great, and it's still great, and that's why that ride has never closed.
And it's more effective.
Yeah.
This thing is completely missold as well, though. Like, attaching Darren Brown to it feels like
that's
an
insult. Very odd.
Well, because I thought
he's done several
of
these rides before, hasn't
trippy,
he? With them.
Has he?
Yeah, he's done like a two or three rides, I think.
Well, you know, Darren Brown's whole gimmick, and even beforehand, when you meet Darren Brown's hologram, he's talked to you as if you're conducting some experiment, and it's going to be
part of his
shtick.
He kind of presents it in hindsight. It doesn't seem like he knows what the ride is. Mm. It's like he wrote this script and then they were like, all right, let's make a ride.
Yeah.
He doesn't mention
anything. There was
no
connection to Darren Brown whatsoever on the actual experience. It can just be anything, really. You could just call it any sort of Vive Ghost Train, call it that.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what it is.
Absolutely.
It's quite a strange little thing. And I'm really glad we've tried it.
Yeah.
But I don't see how it's like their big
thing.
I think
why is this not coming out at Halloween or something?
Yeah. I think it's a
weird time to launch it.
It's a good idea for the future, and maybe in like 5 years' time, I'm sure someone is going to take that idea and really develop it into something great.
As the headsets get like lighter and
well, mine was
as long as they get the people who didn't make that 90s TV program reboot to make all the animations for it.
One of my headsets was the calibration was off.
Well, that's
so it's like I was sitting on the floor of the train.
Yeah, there are changes.
Also, the thing I was thinking about, because we've got one in, they're quite temperamental things.
Yeah.
But also, I don't really fancy, we've got one in our like kitchen now that's used by our entire office. So what's that, 50, 60 people?
Yes.
It's like,
I know what you're saying.
Is there like a hygiene thing?
No. Well, so these particular headsets are like coated in like a weird sort of rubbery
like
thing. So I think they're kind of wiped down.
Because it's like in summer, if that's been used like 100 times and it's like absorbed people's sweat.
The turnaround for this press night was so fast, like let alone open to the public. And I still went, the second time we had to put on the headsets, I was like, I swear this is sweat around the side of it. But because you're in it, they're like, put the headsets on. And I'm trying to put
chill
it on.
Chill out, Darren.
And like, as I put on this sweaty headset.
You know what, though? I do want to put it on. He has got powers.
Yeah. You don't put it on and it just slides on anyway. Oh, God!
Think of the extra sprays.
Well, it was too big and it dropped like to my nose. I could see it over the top. I don't know what elephant was. Yeah, exactly.
Joseph Merrick was wearing it beforehand.
He's wearing this.
There was one bit where mine glitched out for about 5 seconds where instead of tracking where my head was, it was just moving the world where I looked. And I genuinely thought for a second, like,
you've gone
because
mad.
Beforehand, Darren's hologram says like, you may question your own perception of things. And I thought this was like purposely like, I'm in charge of the train, and I'm like moving it around with my skull, and then it fixed and I was like, oh shit, it's all gone wrong.
Do you remember that bit where, I'll try not to spoil it, but there's a bit where nothing happens for about 20 seconds and I could hear everyone around me going, I think mine's broken. Mine's everything broken.
It was like a minute. It was like a 4 minute.
The screen could have glitched. It looked like it kind of glitched.
I imagine, but it was actually being one of the people who operate that ride, because imagine it. Oh, we're going to have to reboot it. Right, yeah. Everyone's seeing like the Windows menu.
And there's so many of them as well. Oh, yeah, no, I'm in this weird, like, green hill on this
fine
sunny day.
So I'm in DOS mode. What do I do?
Big paperclip comes up.
Ah, Christ! You may question your own reality of paperclip.
We're setting up a new printing device.
So I think overall, I don't know. Should we give us out of 10?
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10?
I'd say, yeah, something like 4 or 5. Thought Park was a lot better than the actual ride was. All the rest of the rides were awesome.
Thought Park's fantastic. Oh,
yeah. I've never been to Thought Park.
Oh, man.
It was awesome. But you all loved it.
Well, the only big con was... we got there like kind of rushed
for free event.
How did you get your powers? Yeah.
We got let in after hours at Thought Park. This was on every ride within 5 minutes.
This was
after my steak sandwich. Yeah.
The only real con was they only did Stella for free, and I'm really a star of Brahman man.
There was nowhere to store my cape and gown.
These cobbles are not cape friendly.
Now I realise
you were in a cape and a gown.
It's a cool event.
That's a weird combo. You're right, Rory. Yes.
You should have seen me on the loop-de-loops, though. I looked like a magician. It was beautiful. I do realize now, in hindsight, this does sound really bitchy, but... The food they were serving was like
oh, you're not going to complain about
the
free food.
No, I'm not going to complain about the free food.
The food was fine.
The food was delicious. I'm not complaining about the food. I'm saying I ate so much of it in a very short amount of time. Yeah. I had like 6 little pots of chili right before riding a roller coaster, which was really bad.
How is this a con?
Ruined your gown.
Yeah.
You said it was a con.
Thanks a lot, Thought Park.
Thanks for making me eat this food.
You're on greed.
You're
gluttony.
Once again, you indulged my sheer avarice. You monsters.
Oh, I'm going to have another cup of chili. You ride the Nemesis.
By the end, he's just got like just mints coming down his face, screaming at waiters.
Just,
no!
Dabbing with my cape.
Just the stench of cumin. Wafting.
Getting my servants to clean my face.
Paprika nightmare walking around.
Place the vibe upon Rory.
Like a crown, like a king, just place it on
me. I shall have the carriage to myself, thank you.
But it was funny as well because I hadn't been to Thorpe Park, I had only seen it through the lens of the in-betweeners.
Okay.
Yeah. Which obviously puts a pretty hilarious impression like in your mind. I thought I was going to see like car doors in the car park and... you know, like people running around in suits getting stung by bees, but not quite. Yeah.
No,
not quite.
It's quite a professional place.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Television lied to you, mate.
Television lied to me, not for the first time. Mm. So, next on our running order.
Let's see how Rory can complain about this one.
I have kind of complained about everything so far, haven't I?
She's crap. She's actually really good. Yeah, all right, whatever.
You can't complain about this next one.
I can't complain about the next one because I had a freaking blast.
It's so good.
So to celebrate the digital release of 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Blu-ray and DVD home entertainment release of 10 Cloverfield Lane this week.
Yeah, what he said. There's a company to tie in with the movie and the release that's organized kind of an escape room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if all of our listeners know exactly what that is, but essentially it is a room where you're placed inside of and you have to escape.
Right.
Wait. Did you want us to finish that one?
No, that was it. That was its own sentence.
If people are still with us, yes. So it was an escape room created by a company that specialised in doing these all year round.
Yeah. It showed.
Yeah. And we can spoil this because it's like, it's only on for a week. And by the time the podcast goes up, I think it might be done.
Okay.
So they recreated the bunker house. Has everyone seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yes.
Well, I haven't, but...
We're not going to spoil the film, but they basically recreated the bunker that is in
the
film.
You see it in the trailers.
Did that actually look like the bunker?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, I would have got much more of a kick.
I wanted to ask a series of questions about it, but they would spoil the film, so I'm not going to do
it. It's very like... It's not an exact recreation, but it's very stylistically the same. Like, it has the same sort of rooms. They're not in the same sort of layout, but... It has
John Goodman wasn't there.
It had some of the best elements from the film as well, like that about... Well, I can't spoil the film.
So did you have to find a medallion that implicated someone in a horrific event?
No, we did not.
Well, so it wasn't inauthentic.
Four of us went in, Rory, myself, Dale and Alicia, and the first room we went into was kind of like the bedroom, like where she wakes up after the car accident, and we were just locked in that room.
Yeah.
And it began.
So how do they... Like, I've never been to one of these. Does someone lead you in and say, all right, I'm going to lock you in now?
So we went in with a person who is from, I think, escaperooms.co.uk, which is the company that make these things all year round. And she was with us. And for a while, I didn't know whether she was a plant. Well, no, I didn't know whether she was going to kick off at some point, so I was kind of looking at her. I was ready to push her over.
Dad's got like a wrench in his back.
No, I was always keeping one eye on her. I
was like, because her kind of backstory was that she was like a hitchhiker that we picked up.
Yeah.
Because she was in an accident. So then I thought she was just there to kind of like watch us and make sure we didn't do anything to like wreck the place. Yeah. But then sometimes she would be like, oh, my head's
did she do that?
Yeah.
She would like, that's weird. And I'd be like, Dan, it's happening.
Yeah, before we went in,
you haven't watched the film, but you wouldn't know.
I forgot she said that before we went in. It was like, oh, you guys were all driving along and I'm a hitchhiker, you picked me up. Let's go in.
I'm the hitchhiker.
That's why I was keeping an eye on it. I was like,
oh man, I was just focused in the game at that point. As soon as I walked the door, like, where is it? Where do I go?
The air purification box.
Right, went in, and in the can't go through all the little puzzles and stuff, but there was a locker, and there were some magazines on the bed, two t-shirts that said Paris on them. And so suddenly, everything is important.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking through these magazines, and I'm like, right, I need to take this magazine with me because in this issue of Vogue, there's a little sachet of moisturiser. If we need a lubricant, nice. I know where that is.
Oh, man.
Does anyone know the longitude of Paris? Thinking about it way too deeply. But there was like an Irvine and there were crutches, and Alicia worked out that we could put the crutch through the Irvine.
Well, there was a bag inside the Irvine.
We got the bag from there.
And then like one of my favorite parts about it was when it got to, I think it was like around below, because you had 45 minutes essentially before he returned to the bunker and you were kind of screwed.
Oh yeah, we
needed the whole event, that window. You had 45 minutes.
Window. So when it kind of dropped below the 30 minute time, there was music playing. As soon as it hit below, the music was like picking up and getting really intense. And we made it into the kitchen. I remember at one point, I found the clue on the back of like some puzzle pieces and I just like swept the table and I was like, I need to make the puzzle. And I like looked around and I think like Alicia is like searching everything in the kitchen. I turn around and Dan's just holding a skeleton arm like tripped in acid with a rubber glove, and it's just like, it's just sheer chaos, like people just wrecking this room.
I think when the people who design these things obviously like writers, you have an ideal reader in mind, someone who's going to follow all the clues that you're laying out in a certain order, and I'm sure they would go, oh, we'd like them to go to here and then discover this and discover this. I think we went in and
crazy.
Like, always trashing it. Like, you were turning over stuff. You were like raiding the DVDs, and I turned around. You were like unboxing the game of life. And I was like, is this necessary at this point? And you're like,
shut up, Chris, and get me the moisturizer.
I need to lubricate the spinning wheel.
Me and Alicia as well, we like spent all this time making the puzzle, and we realized the clue was on the bottom of the puzzle. Like the numbers were written on the back.
Right.
Jigsaw puzzle. So I was like, damn. So we like put it over together and tried to like flip it like a pancake, and the whole thing just went flying everywhere.
Oh my god.
And it's like the music's playing and Dan's running around with a skeleton arm, and like it was just
what was the skeleton arm for?
Had a key
attached.
So in a vat of acid I found a skeleton arm with
a
little key on it.
That's good.
And I was trying to open this locker with the key while it was still attached to this small arm, but then we found some pliers so we took the key off.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There was also my favourite part was there was a little hidden USB stick inside the back of a drawer.
That was cool.
And then I was like, well, I've got a USB stick. Didn't know if it was part of the set or what. And then I saw there was a radio. It was a radio, I suppose, that had a little USB port in. You plug that in, and then it plays like a voice message for like someone else.
That's
left
badass.
And that had a code on for another lock and stuff.
That sounds really good.
So, yeah, it was really good.
So much fun.
Like, I wonder how much work goes into having to reset those rooms, because at one point, like when the panic sets in, I was like throwing magazines, flipped the whole couch, like we just ripped the place apart.
She did say we went in with a lot more force than most people did.
You've broken it.
She goes, you guys didn't stop.
Again, we're Team Tornado, deal with it.
In that situation, like all information is suddenly important information. I was going to a box of Frosties and I thought I found it. It's actually just the free toy. The
problem. No way.
Where do we put this? What does it mean?
But then also, I actually never told you on this on the day, because like again creating false patterns, it was like a thing, and because it was like euros inside it said France, I was like, France, Paris. What is it?
Making this ridiculous connection.
Yeah.
That's
brilliant. It's like when we went into the first room and you found that code written on the other side of a clock, like a 4-digit code. Mm-hmm. And I was like, remember this, everyone remember this. And I was like, made a mental note of it. And then at the end when we got out, I was like, wait, what was it with the code on the clock?
We were trying on every padlock.
Yeah. And she was like, what? And it's like, the code on the clock at the start. And she's like, I think that was on it when we bought it.
It's just a sticker.
Some weird escape the room car brief sale. All these uncoded objects just get shoved.
Yeah. Kid's arm. Frosty's toys. It's all part of the escape room car
brief sale. I would definitely do an escape room again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What franchises would you like to see represented in the escape room?
Alien.
Alien would be,
if you made it really scary. Game,
yeah.
So, like, for instance, you're next to a laboratory. If you had proper production value, if you could have a glass window through which you could see the laboratory where, like, the eggs are hatching or something, and you've got X amount of time before facehuggers are coming in, that'd be awesome.
What about the room where the really thin, not circular room where they've got the computer, like Mother? Is it Mother or Father?
Mother.
It's Mother, yeah.
And they just, and you, maybe it comes up like with a DOS thing where you've got to like choose your own adventure.
That'd be brilliant.
Now all I can think of is sci-fi ones. Event Horizon.
Ooh, Event Horizon.
Rooting around in Jason That'd Isaac's guts.
I would like
it's decadent.
I would like an Indiana Jones one. So it's like a temple and there's like clues you have to solve and like maybe like
basically like at the end where you have to do the Walk of Faith.
And, or just
he
like
chose
the,
wisely.
Or like the desert bit in the Crystal Maze.
Yeah.
Either or.
What I mentioned earlier as well, the Saw would be a good one as well, because that is basically that.
Yeah.
The film
yeah.
is that anyway.
Just escape rooms.
Just have to cut someone's leg off.
So the company that did this, they do escape rooms?
All year round. This.
We should totally go and do one of these.
Let's do an IGN UK podcast escape room.
Well, didn't they have like an Egyptian themed one or something? I looked at the flyer.
Oh, see, that would be great. Yeah,
that
would be
really cool.
Should we look into just doing another one?
I want to do it now.
My brother-in-law and sister did one in LA, and it's like similar, but they scale in difficulty. So you can have ones that are like almost impossible, that maybe only like a handful of people
who do cryptic crosswords.
Yeah, just like insane. It'd be funny if one of them was just brute strength, like it's just bars, and if you can't bend them, you don't get out.
Yeah.
So you have to have like a team.
Is that your
dream? You have to have
like
a strong person, a smart person.
Are we back to Overwatch?
We're back to Overwatch. One can throw grenades and heal people.
We need a mom.
So basically, escape rooms are great. If you get a chance to
And also, 10 Cloverfield Lane's really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm dying to check it out.
Except for the mid.
Yeah.
Oh, mixed bag.
More cool things that have happened this week. At San Diego Comic Con, we got a whole bunch of trailers released.
Loads of stuff.
We got Wonder Woman, we got Justice League, Doctor Strange, and the trailer for Skull Island.
You missed off the best one. Legion.
Oh, there's Legion as well.
I've seen Legion.
It's well
I also missed out Lego Batman.
That's a really good trailer.
I haven't seen that yet. Apparently
so basically, there was lots of trailers, but we're going to focus on just a few of them.
Okay. Oh, I'm so disappointed there wasn't a Power Rangers trailer.
I've never been doing like... I've never worked for a place that covers entertainment as heavily as we do, so I can't tell whether this year was just really good for trailers or I was paying more attention.
Warner Brothers, I think maybe because they got stung last year with the leaked Suicide Squad trailer, this year they just put up everything simultaneously, nearly, with their press conference at Comic-Con, which I think was really good. So that's where the Wonder Woman, Justice League, Lego Batman, all that...
Suicide Squad was really good.
Suicide Squad. I don't know who's Skull Island. That might be legendary. But all these trailers went live, where previously a lot of them were just in the room, which is great for the people who made the effort, and I completely understand why. You know, that's why the Marvel panel still had that kind of, nobody's seen the Spider-Man footage that hasn't leaked. But that's why I think maybe we're a bit more aware of it this year, and it's like, oh, loads of awesome stuff because we got it immediately.
That Suicide Squad trailer is like 4 minutes long.
I kind of stopped watching them now because it's so close to it coming out, because they've released all the character featurettes as well.
Oh yeah, I've not watched any of them.
And like that on top of all the press or the set photos that came out, and that was ages ago. Like I feel like the coverage on that movie's been extensive. I guess that's because
they're like, we need to communicate what the hell this is to
be. Yeah, not only that, but they seem to have, I don't know whether it's true or not, but they seem to have pivoted in how they're presenting it to people as well.
Comedic.
Like it's more fun.
Totally. Yeah.
But let's talk about the ones you actually wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. Wonder Woman.
Good.
People seem to really, 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 really like it.
I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know it was released.
It's so good.
It's a brilliant trailer.
I was not interested in Wonder Woman up to this point.
It's a brilliant trailer.
The trailer is incredible.
I'm getting some like Captain America First Avenger vibes from it. Some
because
like World War.
And also, she has a massive she has a shield in it. There's a lot of shield work.
She's got a shield.
No, but like... So visually, I think it looks really impressive. Yeah. Like the fight sequences. So there's a scene, Joe, you've not seen it. There's a scene on a beach where loads of female warriors take on Nazis.
I don't know.
I assume they are. It looks incredible. That scene with the woman who's like the archer and she jumps backwards through the air.
Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of very impressive
action.
Even her,
the lamest superhero weapon of all time, her lasso of truth, looks incredibly badass.
It's like burning.
It's like this
it's
glowing fire whip. Yeah. Like, it's so cool.
Because the choreography is cool because she's got loads of weapons and she's like switching between them on the move.
Do you think she'll like
video games?
See, like backflipping in slow motion, like whip some guy in a really epic style, and he'll be like, I whipped my bed till I was 9, and then he'll like flip around. Like,
what about her most impractical weapon, which was sword in her back when she's wearing a dress?
Yeah, it was a bit weird. Is that not just going to take the dress off?
That looks so uncomfortable. She's wearing like an evening gown dress or something. She had a huge sword down the back of it. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah. Sounds kind of cool.
John McClane did it first.
I see.
Imagine now I have a whip of truth.
Imagine if that Die Hard scene, it was a sword, not a gun.
Oh. And then it cuts to the wide shot, he's miles away.
Instead of shooting him, it's just...
Too early.
Balls.
I think it looks great.
I like
the bit
where she's like sliding on the floor with her shield.
Yeah, there's a lot of sliding going on in there.
She's like a sledge.
She's like a Beyblade.
What did you think about the gags?
I like the last one about the secretary.
I've noticed that there was a lot of gags forced into these trailers, especially like
the Justice League one more.
We're moving on to.
I think I've made notes on that one as well.
I thought the one in the Wonder Woman was good at the end, and
I like Chris Pine's. Well, that was neat when she says about Zeus being her dad. That was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm not sure about the one at the end.
Did you see that thing where someone, like the director, I think, came out and said, like, don't worry, we're not emasculating Chris Pine? And it's like, what? Anyone next to Wonder Woman should be emasculated. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Is she's, like, just better than everyone else.
She's better than everyone. She's the best fighter
she's
in the universe.
She's a wonderful
universe.
Woman.
Yeah.
It's really strange. Like, imagine them doing that for a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
I feel like that's just being safe, isn't it? Like,
against MRAs.
Yeah. Like, and all the... Like the flack that Ghostbusters has got, like the director just like feels obliged to come out and make that statement,
nonsense,
which is ridiculous. Yeah.
Justice League.
Yeah, talking about some jokes that didn't land.
Yeah.
Justice League. I really did not like this trailer. To me, it felt like just
not a trailer.
From a movie.
I think this is an excellent point. It's so early for a trailer. Like, just like they had those had that set visit really early on, and allowed journalists to run the set visit way earlier than you ever let people run set visits. They're putting out, this is almost something special they cut for Comic Con.
Yeah,
but again,
it's damage
to
control.
It's basically to realign tracks early on.
It felt more like a montage sequence of Batman recruiting as opposed to an actual trailer. Everything felt like it went on too long.
I don't have a problem with the like recruitment montage sequence thing because I don't know that much about Justice League.
Yeah,
I know all those characters, but most people don't. Quite happy to see all those people come together.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it was like so tonally all over the place.
Absolutely,
I saw you tweeting about Icky Thump.
Yeah,
like
doesn't
as a soundtrack
at all.
When it first came on, I was like, oh, this is cool as shit. I see what the tone is going for. Yeah. And then having that playing whilst Ezra Miller's making bad jokes as the Flash, and you're like, doesn't make sense.
Well, that's part of it is because like if you've ever like edited a trailer before or just watched a lot of trailers, you know that there's a beat and a rhythm to it. And this one would like build to a point and then just play the same bit of the song over again over like another 15 seconds of dialogue.
This is where
I
think they wanted to show people footage and they didn't, they probably don't have finished scenes.
That's
and they've created this in between thing, like this like tone piece or like a character showcase.
It's not a tone piece.
Yeah.
Because what is the tone of that?
Well, that is the problem. Like, they don't know what the tone is anymore. And also, it's probably like character introductions for some of them.
Mm.
But again, even within that, sorry, I nearly knocked my coffee over.
Even within that. Is there a code on
does
it?
Does anyone know anything more about Cyborg apart from what the hell is that?
No, oh, yeah. No. He looks mad.
I think it looks bad, the design on that. The design of that character when he's in the sewer at the end with Batman looks so weird to me.
Yeah.
Also, do you know about the actor who plays him? No. Ray Fisher.
Oh, you've talked about him before.
So after all the criticism of Batman v Superman, he got like really snippy with people on Twitter, especially journalists who didn't like Batman v Superman. But what's really funny is he's tried to launch his own hashtag on everything he posts, and the hashtag is hashtag Borg Life. So everything
that's
he posts
really good.
On Twitter, on Instagram,
Borg Life.
And he also has a thing that he does with his hands that makes it look like a B and an L, and it's like hashtag Borg Life. It's not catching on.
No.
This what has he done before? Just got a
Justice
title.
League. Very little.
I was
going to
say, like, who is he?
Borg Life.
Borg Life? Is it like...
It just sounds like the Beetleborg.
This is not very good for audio.
Yeah.
No.
It's terrible.
We're all trying to do the Borg Life.
That's easy to do.
I'll try and find a picture of it.
Borg but, like, Life.
He's trying to bring in the Borg Life.
What did everyone think about The Flash? Sorry to interrupt.
No. That was done.
I think it is terrible. I thought...
I didn't think it's not funny in the slightest.
No.
And maybe that's the right end, because the gags were awful.
I know this is like a terrible comparison, but what you've got in this trailer is essentially Batman being the Tony Stark going around recruiting people. And I think Barry Allen is trying to be pitched as like the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like a young kind of like awkward... But like... There's no chemistry. It's
I wrote
like a
down
spark
the worst
and a
joke.
Puddle like together. It's...
His worst joke was the bit where he says, "What are you doing sitting in my second favorite chair?"
Oh, what does that even mean?
What is that?
Exactly.
What is it, Sheldon?
That's not a joke.
Is he known for having a favorite chair? Yeah. Like, and what's that trading off?
It's good you weren't in my time chair, but also that one's comfy.
Also,
so.
Just deliberately trying to be kooky, isn't it?
Also,
just
I think it's really weird that he throws the batarang at him, and then when he moves, he goes, "So you're fast." It's like, did you not know that when you threw it at my face?
You could have killed him.
What if his power was he's just really smart?
Yeah. I bet.
You killed him.
I bet
you killed the brains of the operator.
That's like the fifth cave he's been in.
He's just lodged in his big head.
Yeah. That's like the fifth cave he's been in. He's killed five other people and he's like, got him this time. Right.
And then he comes back to Wonder Woman and he's like, did you get all 10 members? I've got three. I've got three of them.
Four of them weren't fast. Only one
Bruce,
was, actually.
We talked about you killing people.
Yeah.
Also, did he not know who he was? Or was I misremembering Batman vs Superman? Didn't he have a lot of vision with The Flash?
Yeah.
Was it The Flash?
Yeah, it was. But yeah, maybe he doesn't know who that was.
Yeah. It just seems like, when they've got such a like well-cast... I know they can't have the same guy, but The Flash, the Barry Allen in the CW's Flash, is like... really good, and that's the vision of that character that everyone now has. I'm sad.
I just can't believe they're ruining my favorite character.
That's the nerd in a sense.
Yeah, but guys, anyway, so the thing about it is, he's... But, like, everything from the way he acts to the effects they use are now in people's heads, and they're replacing all of them. It just seems mad to me. Like, it's just
the new, like visual effects around him moving quickly are those, like, blue...
It's
like
blue lightning
bolts.
Yeah.
Which
again,
doesn't
like,
seem right.
I don't think the joke's that funny. I don't necessarily mind him being, like, the awkward member of the team... As such, but like,
no,
moving
but he has
on,
to be good at it.
Moving on to another character who is quite problematic in general, Aquaman. Aquaman has his reputation of being kind of this comedy character, and
a little
bit. He's been relaunched several times in the comic. They're trying to make him harder and stuff. In this, they've like he's like the rock
gone
star.
So far, yeah.
Like he smashes basically shorthand in any movie for if you're a bit of a renegade. He drinks an entire bottle of Jack Daniels and smashes it,
and then lets the waves consume him.
Oh, that one's so Zack Snyder. That shot of him facing the waves. You're just like, come on, man, stop with your like dumb big visual metaphors.
Another barely a joke at the end as well. I hear you talk to
fish.
That's not a joke.
And then I thought I was waiting for him to like the second
retort.
Peak where he
also is there not a thing where again like, when Batman goes to is it like a Russian village and he's like I've come here because I've heard a legend about a man who brings you fish in winter so you can eat. Yeah. Why is he killing fish? I thought he'd be quite antsy. That is he not supposed to like care more about the underwater kingdom than a bunch of people in Russia?
Do you know what would be really funny is if Batman just comes up to him, throws a batarang at him, and it just bounces off his head.
He's dead.
It just bounces off his head, but then he just goes... And loads of fish fly in and attack Batman.
Master Wayne, this is why you have no friends.
Also,
finds Thomas and Martha Wayne dead with batarangs in head.
Is Aquaman just getting pissed and going like talking shit to the fish?
I love that he's getting pissed and getting, he's like staggering on land.
Whoa, where am I? He's just like, you fuckers can't stand out
like,
here.
Just like going to the sharks, think you're tough? Find me on land. Find me on land.
Where are you now?
There's a bit when he's walking, you know, so he has a swig out of a bottle. Is that Jack Daniels?
It looks like it's
whiskey. I thought it was just a bottle of water first. I thought it was
like
a bottle
of water. He can't survive on the land. He's got to keep drinking.
He's just pouring it around in his mouth and nose.
I do think it's funny that it's like you've taken a character who's well known for, like, there's literally memes and jokes about how useless Aquaman is. You just try to turn him into the most badass character. Like,
drunk as well.
Yeah, it's so weird. But I mean, it could be fun.
It's not going to work. I'll make a bold statement there and say it's not going to work.
The girls are loving it. All the girls.
All of them, uniformly.
All the girls I went to university with.
I've done some research. All of the girls.
Let me be specific then.
This is me at the board meeting. How'd the trailer go down? Girls are
It's tracking well with women.
Girls
who?
Are
Two women
are
I went to university with both thought it was okay. They both liked it on Facebook.
Yeah. Both really
loved it.
Next trailer on the list, Doctor Strange.
Ugh. So good.
Looked visually amazing.
So I really wasn't on board with the first Doctor Strange.
You were like
I didn't really get the appeal. Granted, I don't really know a lot about the character, but the trailer didn't do a lot for me. This one, however, I'm much more on board. My only worry and fear at the minute is, as you said, like visually, it looks absolutely
incredible.
I really hope that there is a justified reason for all of these incredible moments happening, because it's very like Inception, but obviously that makes sense because it's dreams collapsing and things are going strange. I don't know. It's like
he's a reality shaping sorcerer.
I think the thing is, like, in the Avengers, the world is threatened. In this, reality is threatened.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, he's the savior of reality. That's like the space he operates in the comics. So whilst like Daredevil's going to help you because someone's like threatening to like kill your wife, Spider-Man will save a city, this guy will save reality itself.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of the thing they're dealing with, and I think that's like what's going to legitimize a lot of that stuff. But also I reckon there's going to be stuff that goes beyond even like the city's falling. There'll be monsters in this.
Awesome. Yeah.
When he's training, like the Lego set they've shown has tentacles in it.
As long as these really impressive moments are justified and like can be comprehended within the plot of the movie, that's fine. But I don't want it like someone like throws a spell and that the effect of that spell like twists the world in a weird, and it's like, well, you know, I want a reason behind all this. Not
really
just
like,
because you can do it.
I like when they're casting, they have like these like weird kind of symbols.
It's like
around the
it's
yeah
like
it's not
magic,
like
yeah.
casting spells that you've seen in a way before. It's quite like Warcraft actually, where they're like drawing runes and stuff. It's a kind of a different way of depicting magic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
If we're talking about gags,
oh god, yes,
right.
Yeah,
do you like it or you don't you like
I
it?
I don't like it.
I think it was fantastic.
Really?
I love that
the Wi-Fi one.
The Wi-Fi joke.
It just really felt so out of place, and
it was designed as like a post.
But what is it? This obsession with just sticking a big gag as your final point on the end of
a
big
good
action
taste in everyone's
superhero
mouth.
Film.
A little mint, that's what it is.
Not if the gag fails miserably.
Just
and
like,
I
comes
just,
with the bill.
They're like, oh, it's crazy, all
I
this stuff's
know.
Going on.
It just
little
didn't, it didn't
Wi-Fi.
Register with me at all. I just thought, oh, that was weird.
That's felt like when you've got a trailer that's just, you know, one thing.
Crazy stuff.
It's just like, whoa, there's like a city turning itself into a ball. That was amazing. Yeah. Like, having that one little moment of just like, oh, here's something human, by the way. I thought that punctured it nicely for me. I thought
you
that was
can
quite
see,
good.
You can see the Avengers Tower getting sucked into that hole
can
as
you?
Well. Oh, it's like cool. toppling in. And also the cloak. I like the way he puts on a cloak. That's very good.
You talking about how you don't want to be the actually guy for Aquaman on Twitter coming out and saying, it's a cloak, not a cape.
The thing is, though, I kind of did that a bit tongue-in-cheek,
yeah,
but it's like some people are like, I tell you that, but people are like, yeah, right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Like, I actually don't care that much, but
I knew it.
Cloak ebooks.
People were like, yes, favourite that.
That's the one I wore to Thor Park, actually.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
On the Nemesis Inferno, just swiveling around.
What's everyone's opinion on the accent?
He just sounds like House.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
It's still a little bit jarring for me. I'm still not sure.
It's that weird thing.
How good it is.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, almost he could have done his English. Like, he's an American character. Yeah. they've adapted a lot of characters. Like, I don't think anyone would have, like, obviously some people would have been up in arms that he was English, but I think a lot of people have just gone with it.
In the grand scheme of things, where the ancient one has been whitewashed.
And now she's a Celtic.
I think it's okay if he changed accent.
Yeah, but, and also it would kind of suit the character, like, we've not a really haughty Englishman.
Yeah, we've not heard him in extended conversation.
Yeah,
yet,
just odd snippets. Lines. Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of really hard to tell.
I think I like the way it's shot. Some really nice shots.
It looked beautiful.
Like, I thought that the first trailer as well. Like, well, that's really impressive.
We've got an opportunity here to make a really interesting movie that ties in with the Marvel Universe that doesn't necessarily follow the tropes of the ones before it. I think that's a great opportunity.
And also in a world of trailers where where everything is given away to you and it's like, here's an explanation for everything you're seeing. That, we were talking about this earlier, like, there's a bit where, like, there's the sort of shattered reality and he sort of steps back through it. And it makes no attempt to go, here's what's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no voiceover saying, like, you step back through reality and, I don't know, I like something happens to your brain. Like,
it's like, also when he goes through those three doors and they're three completely different locations.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's that?
And you're very matrixy feeling. Yeah.
Everything about it is just going, here's, like, weird clues that will never make sense until you see the movie, and I'm so up for that.
I think
that.
Marvel have been afforded that luxury, haven't they, to purposely be ambiguous with these sort of things, because it's got the Marvel stamp of approval, and like Justice League, where they're just like, shit, we need everyone on board, let's just throw everything out there.
We need everyone on board. Can you imagine if they did the Doctor Strange trailer in the style of the XXX one?
Oh my god.
What?
Girls, reality,
cakes,
guns,
cool ass cloaks.
He's back. Just like Doctor Strange walking in slow motion with white stripes.
I was going to say Inky Thompson's on.
We want you to do some magical shit and look cool doing it. I've got it.
This sounds like a Facebook meme video you need to make, Rory.
Skiing through the jungle.
two mil on that.
Two mil
guaranteed. Yeah. The last trailer on our list is Skull Island. What do you guys think?
I thought it looked really cool. Yeah. I didn't like one thing about it, and that is Samuel L. Jackson. Because I don't like Samuel Jackson.
You don't like Samuel Jackson?
It's just, I can't...
Phoning it in.
Yeah, I can't suspend disbelief when I hear his voice. It's Samuel Jackson to me. I can't pretend it's any other character.
I think it doesn't help that in this movie he has like that big badass thing where he's like standing against
the
fire.
He's basically the Hateful Eight again. It seemed like he was doing the exact same spiel. He's like, you tell me all you need to know or I'll shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I saw this guy 6 months ago.
Samuel, this isn't in the script. Like... I don't know what role you've prepped for.
Actually supposed to be playing a botanist.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've actually, like, actually
you're the heroine.
Sorry, we dropped in the making of featurette.
apart from that, I thought it looked really good.
That's
really
like Apocalypse Now. Like with like the helicopter
sunsets
when he's just stood there from behind.
Oh, and you know, they're obviously doing the thing where they're not revealing Kong in full force yet, and I think that's a really clever way to keep the intrigue up as well, so I'm excited.
Do any of you have fond memories of King Kong in general?
No,
I couldn't care less.
I don't think
many
people do.
The theme park ride,
okay.
The game was great. The 360 PlayStation game was great.
Yeah, the one where you could get all the trophies.
That one, yeah, same as the Lost video game.
I actually, after seeing like the remake. Like, when was that released?
That would be
mid
2000s. Yeah, 2004.
Didn't even know this was possible. I spoiled the ending for my aunt. And it's like, how do not know?
I feel like...
Like, everyone even knows
the ending from
the,
like, the 1920s.
Yes,
film.
I spoiled it.
Well, the same, because it's the same in the new one.
Well, now I'm really careful about...
That is not a spoiler.
You could spoil a 1920s film.
She was talking to me about it, and I was like, the movie was great, and we were all really sad at the end when he dies. And she was like, what? And I was like, do you not, like... Everyone knows the image of, like, King Kong batting planes off, like, the skyscraper. It's like, I didn't think you could...
Apparently, Auntie Powers didn't, though.
Auntie Powers did not. No, had a room for her. She was like, spoiler alert!
Did you actually say that?
No, absolutely not. No, I'm really excited about this movie. I think it's got a good cast, and it has the potential to just be, like, a really good action movie, all things considered. Dan?
I'm going to have to excuse myself.
You're done with the foursome?
Because Andrew Goldfarb's going to ring me, so he's effectively ruined this podcast.
Get him involved.
If people want to just tweet him, if people want to tweet him and say, oh, you really messed up that episode of IGN UK podcast, I'm not going to stop you.
Just start the call in here.
Is he calling you now?
He will be. Like, my laptop's probably going off.
Get some classic gotcha radio.
Watch out, Krupa's about.
So everyone tweet at Goldfarb and tell him he ruined the IGN UK foursome.
Such a chasm here. I'm going to move
Before we start, feedback. Did either of you watch the Legion trailer?
No,
you
didn't? I didn't.
Okay.
Paint me a picture, John.
It looks incredible. So it is an X-Men TV series about the character who is traditionally, but we're not sure yet, is Charles Xavier's mentally damaged son in the comics.
Oh, cool.
It's being made by the guy who created the latest series of Fargo, which is like some of the best
seal
TV
of approval immediately.
Years.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this trailer is, it's not just like, here's an introduction to the concepts that you're going to be shown. It is like, it's a minute and a half, like, basically like a formal experiment into showing you what it's like to be schizophrenic. It's unbelievable. So it's like all these shots from an interview this guy's having, but then seemingly the thoughts he's having at the same time they're intruding on his interview.
What?
There's a bit where he's just like, please, can we take a break? And the trailer breaks for like a very short dance sequence. It's amazing.
This sounds great.
It's one of the, like, hands down one of the best trailers I've seen for years. And now I'm super excited about what that means for the TV show.
Damn, so I'm really
Marvel
upset.
Produced,
pardon?
Marvel produced?
Yeah.
So they've got the rights to do the TV show.
Yeah, so that's why it's a bit confusing about the X-Men thing, because maybe if they don't have the rights to show Xavier, they won't make him Xavier's son in this.
Yeah. Right,
he could be someone else's. But anyway, like, it looks fantastic.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it's just an amazing trailer, and I think it got, you know, buried a bit under the rest of the news. Yeah. So seek it out.
I will.
I'll definitely check that one out.
It's cool as hell.
That sounds great. Okay, moving on to feedback. Now that Dan's gone, we're gonna have to like redistribute.
I've already done it. I've sorted it out.
It's all over it.
All right, who wants to lead us off?
Number one. Headed the Neon Demon and dating plans. Dear podcast
That's
team.
Oh,
I've just realised. Don't worry, no, I'll edit it.
I thought you'd highlighted that
I'll
as
bleep
opposed
his
to
name
crossed
out.
It out.
I'll bleep his name out in post.
Oh, shit, we're not supposed to say the name?
It says in the first line.
Dear podcast team, please don't use my real name.
I'll bleep it out. Don't
just
worry.
Call me the Neon Idiot. Call me the podcast idiot.
I even said it back as well. I was like, hey, oh, I said it again. Sorry.
Stop saying oh, goddamn it.
Wilson! Long bleep.
Shambles.
Do we cut this out?
No.
Bleeps.
Don't try and
said his name again.
Don't try and censor the
person. Neon Idiot said, I recently had a first date with a female.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a strange way of saying that.
I once dated one of your human
just
females.
Gonna say, before we start this, it's about a date going wrong. I think if you referred to her as a female on the date, that's your first problem.
I just assume he is like a robot, right?
Yeah. And like an idiot, I booked tickets to see the Neon Demon. I was very unaware of what many things would happen during this film, not least necrophilia and vampiric tendencies from models.
Huh.
This is Nicholas Winding Refn's new film, and he's gross.
Wait, model vampires? Like, a really attractive vampires?
Seemingly.
Or they're just, like, really great? Or, like, model vampires?
Not all vampires attractive.
No.
In modern... No, I suppose not.
You played
Nosferatu.
The Witcher, mate.
Nosferatu was not an attractive man.
He was
well,
not.
It depends what your taste is.
Yeah, maybe you like guys, long men on TikTok.
Yeah, they look like tall men models.
Yeah. I was wondering if there were any suggestions for future date films or other media-based ideas. It does sound like a robot.
Yeah.
Other media-based ideas. Or should I play it safe and just book a table at a restaurant? Bed regards, Neon Idiot.
Things are heating up already.
What's going on?
Should I book a restaurant and consume some of your human nutrients?
I mean, not to bust in on this, but surely a more interesting comment is, have you ever been to a really bad date film?
Ooh.
I took an ex to watch Control, the Joy Division film, which is a black and white study into depression and suicide.
Whose decision was that?
Oh,
that was
God.
Mine. Yeah. I really wanted to see Ian Curtis's life played out.
I went on a date once to watch Return of the King, and she hadn't seen The Lord of the Rings.
That's really bad.
And that was... I didn't care. I just wanted to see the film.
Here's a 2.5-hour film you won't understand.
She was very pleasant about it. Split up a few days later.
Yeah.
That's a true story, by the way.
Really?
I'm not making it up.
Was that anything to do with the movie, or just that was an unrelated?
It's, no, I can't say it out loud because it's too horrible.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you,
a ringwraith ate her.
Yeah. I've been on the opposite side of this, whereas I had a girlfriend who was obsessed with the Twilight films.
Mm.
So I had to go watch like every single Twilight movie on like opening day. She was very pretty, so I absolutely had to on like opening day, and that was horrible for me. Mm. Yeah, terrible.
Oh, I fell asleep during Maleficent once as well. That was because that was a shit film. Yeah.
Not on a date, just tired.
Third and final date.
So I'm trying to think like if there's any really good date movies.
What's a really good date movie? Wait, future date film. So that's got to be something that's coming up.
Something coming up.
Unless you go to like cool. What if you? That's the problem is. If you want to present yourself as like cool, you go to like an indie cinema with the sofas and the bars and
stuff.
Well,
it depends what she's like, though.
But then most art films are just. Well, if you're going to the Neon Demon.
That's true.
Like, but then most art films do have moments where you're just like.
She's a cultured fella. Oh, girl.
A cultured female.
I don't think. So it has to be a date. Maybe it can just be something that you both really enjoy. And. Something I've recently enjoyed with my girlfriend is Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
Now, that doesn't sound like a date TV show. Yeah.
We can talk about it.
That doesn't sound like a date show, but me and my girlfriend, there's only certain shows we'll watch together, but that was totally one of them. I know,
but it's funny and it's scary, but it's never, like, harrowing,
but it's
which
also,
is a perfect date
stuff. Like, my girlfriend really loved it because there's a lot of... don't want to use this word, but cute characters as well. Yeah. Like, characters that you know, find adorable and find really sweet as well.
That's it. Like, it works for everyone. There's so many different groups of people having so many different experiences.
Yeah.
Even though it's about the same thing, like you, like for example, like your girlfriend could really enjoy the kids or maybe like the girl who's like struggling with popularity in high school. And then like I might really enjoy like the
Steve
guys.
Harrington's hair.
Exactly. Oh God, yeah.
And it's different in the first with nails episodes,
in. The first episode, his hair's different.
Yeah, it's completely different.
It's not
as
80s.
I was like, oh, he's changed his style halfway through.
So that's Rachel, and it's Netflix. Yeah. Which is like
Well, that's the thing. If it's a in this case, if it's a second date, are you going to suggest the classic Netflix and chill?
Netflix and chill with Stranger Things. Netflix and chill with a Demigorgon. Spoilers.
That's pretty cool. Other media-based ideas? Do an Escape the Room. That sounds like an excellent
thing. That is a fantastic
idea. You will bond.
Idea.
Or will you break apart and then you're stuck in...
Well, if one of you shit...
Because I feel like if you get enough into it...
If Neon Idiot is as much of a robot as he writes like, that guy's going to solve every code he's placed against.
Just put a hole with his robot arm.
Don't you think that'd be really good for like breaking down the boundaries as well? Because once you get into it, you wouldn't be thinking about the date mentality anymore. You would just be having a good time.
It's a survival situation.
You find out what someone's really like.
That's half the problem of a date, isn't it? That you both go in like, I am on a date and this is all I can do.
Yeah, totally.
Not exactly media, but bowling. I think bowling is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
In the classic American style of dating.
Hot dogs and warm beer.
Hot dogs, warm beer, throwing some balls down some...
I'm throwing rocks tonight! Things. Yeah, that'd be good.
Tons of great dating ideas. So, I'm number two.
We're the greatest lovers in the world. Thanks, bleep bleep.
I'm glad you said bleep.
This is from Andrew, and I hope you can say his name. I didn't check that one. Andrew says he has to share this with us all. A scientific paper has been passed around for discussion between a couple of research groups where I work. I attach it here for both your amusement and scientific edification. Nailed it.
You need it.
The journal where the work is published may not be the most prestigious, but I'm sure you will all agree the research is super effective.
I like that he slipped in a little journal diss. Just be like, you know, who is it?
P.S. Great work again. I'm prepared to try series. It's truly fantastic. Thank you, Andrew.
I didn't highlight that bit,
I was going to say.
I highlighted it.
The center for... this is it. This is the... You've got
the research paper.
I meant moving on to the paper. I wasn't talking about...
Tell us about the paper.
So this is the... Oh, my gosh.
It's the Journal for Interdisciplinary Science Topics.
Which is the most offensively powerful starter Pokemon?
You're not selling it, mate.
It's a multiple-page study of which starter Pokemon in their final evolution is the best. But I don't know. So I haven't read through this properly yet.
No, I skimmed it, but...
So we've got
some serious mathematics.
It's very in-depth.
They're calculating like height and weight and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is technically wrong, because there are small differences between all Pokemon. But there's the interesting thing is, Why?
what's really funny as well is that
that's all I've got.
What's so weird is that I think they're basing all of this information off. I think it seems like stats and experiences and attacks from the anime, the TV show, right, instead of the games where they have down to point figures of what the damage is.
If you look on the last page, I think you'll find there is a reference in.
Oh.
It tells you where they get all the information from.
Bibliography, very well.
There's actually more than I expected. There's artwork. There's the animated series.
It's for the listeners at home, I think it's Harvard-style bibliography.
So. I will also take this moment to formally apologize for getting Pokemon information wrong.
Oh, that was God. That really bugged me.
That really bugged me too.
Especially if you're supposed to be teaching me.
I know.
You taught me everything wrong.
I was listening back to it and just cringing off my. I know. And I got Doug Duo confused with Doe Duo. There's lots of stuff. It didn't
help. Such thing as Doug Duo.
Exactly, Joe. It didn't help that 24 hours prior to that, I had been in a field like listening to screaming children for the past week. But that's no excuse for Pokemon ignorance.
That sounds like your own version of Stranger Things.
To atone for my mistakes, I will now wrap all 150 Pokemon. Electro, Diglett. No, I'm not going to do that. One day, imagine. I will eventually, at one point. But it's not today.
So as a Pokemon Master, is that what they're called? Pokemon Master?
Pokemon Masters.
Pokemon Master. Trainers. What do you think of this this journal?
Well, we should say, we should read out the conclusion of the journal.
Oh, yeah.
It is only a 2-page study, because it's about fake things. But it was discovered that Venusaur's solar beam had an energy output of 194,000 joules. Blastoise's hydro pump had an energy output of 386,000 joules. And Charizard had an output approximately 10 to the power 6 greater than them at 2.62 times 10 to the power 12 joules. This is calculated from the amount of energy required to produce each of the three iconic attacks. So they are concluding that Charizard is the most offensively powerful because of... they
numbers.
Don't actually say which move it is.
I assume it's flamethrower.
I can see why the Journal of Interdisciplinary Science Topics is so not respected by our readers. Academic podcast
so
is
all of
unhappy.
That, Charizard wins. Cool.
Yeah. Which is pretty much what everyone believed before.
I know. Pretty much.
Time well spent. Right. This is from Aiden. He said, hello, IGN UK podcast crew.
Hi, Aiden.
I noticed that very few people use the in-game public voice chat on Xbox Live these days. Normally, when I'm in a game, I notice most players are without a microphone. It could be for obvious reasons. They either unplug their microphone to avoid all nonsense from other players, or else they go into a private party chat with their friends. But this makes them very unlikely to meet new people when playing online. Do you think any of this will change when Microsoft's upcoming Looking for Groups and Club features were announced at this year's E3?
Well, I mean, the obvious Occam's razor being what it is, yes, it's because everyone on the internet is an arsehole and it's not fun playing with them. Mm. That said, so I've never wanted to play with other people. Like, I've never had a good time playing with talking to strangers whilst playing games.
Yeah.
To this day, my brother has friends, like, across the world that he still plays games with because he shouted at them in, like, Modern Warfare back in the day.
Yeah, well, I think it's like... I actually really enjoy that email because from someone who kind of got in really early to the Xbox 360 like online scene, for me and my friends, it was such a novelty that, as you said, we would join like games when we were playing COD 4. But this was before it got into the point where you would all be using party chat. Mm. So you would all just be talking in the game lobbies. Mm. And yeah, that was a huge part of it. We would meet people and then you'd maybe spend a whole night playing with like strangers just because they were pretty good at the game.
Yeah.
Especially with zombies in the first Black Ops Call of Duty game. Because sometimes games can go on for... 6-7 hours if you're like really dedicated, and you have to have that communication with the player because you need to know when to not kill the last zombie so you can do a loop. I to this day still have like people on my friends list who I met when I was like 18 playing these games.
My housemate plays Destiny raids with strangers, so I'll walk in, he'll just be like, ninja fish, please go to the left.
Oh, ninja fish. He's
great.
I used to recently do it on the Division. I used to play with randomers all the time.
I can't
just because
do it.
it was easy that they were there and available at the time for me to play, as opposed to trying to organise something, which, you know, when you get older is just sometimes an impossible task. But like yourself, the early days of PSN, I remember Burnout Paradise. I used to just jump in random games with people. And for some reason, I think he's on something, because everyone did seem to be on headsets in them days.
Yep.
And I've still got people on my friends list who, I would have connected back then.
But again, like nowadays, if I'm playing by myself, I'll just like unplug the mic.
Absolutely,
if anyone talks, I'll like mute them if it's annoying. But it is strange, because especially, like, I remember really specifically with, I think it was Halo 3 when that came out, there was, obviously when you were split into your two teams, it was like team chat in the game, it was team chat. But then when you would go back in your lobby and it would like reassign the teams, there was that short period of time where you could hear what the other team were saying.
Yeah.
So after a game, it would just be, you'd just be like, silence, 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 back in. You piece of shit, Dragon Master, you son of a bitch, you back on you with the gun. Just like chaos, chaos, and it's like split. And they'd be like, all right, so I'm going to go for the rocket launcher this time, and maybe you guys can go for the warthogs.
Really
it's like, it was insane. And I guess it is kind of a shame that like that social aspect is gone, but I think this is a great idea that Microsoft have had to make it a more social point, and I hopefully it picks up again.
Well, that's it, I suppose. Yeah, this, for the reason my housemate does Destiny raids with people is because like you're forced to play with people who are good enough to play with.
Totally.
So if that group isn't just match made out of convenience, it's match made out of requirement, then everyone's gonna want to try and work together, which is useful.
And Destiny's tough because, well, last time I was playing it, they don't have matchmaking for raids.
No. So you have to go through like, you know, online services that
I love raids. Those things are incredible.
It's good stuff.
It's like some of the best gaming experience I've had in recent years. Just incredible.
First time you do Vault of Glass, it blows your mind.
There were points where it's like we would be working out like really intricately, everyone's doing their own things, and I'm like, this is too difficult, this can't be what they're making the players do, and then it would work and you do it and you're like, just the sensations, like it was just so exciting. I just felt like, because I never really got into the World of Warcraft scene, and you just used to hear stories of people staying up all night and doing like their raids, and it was raids in World of Warcraft, wasn't it? And I was just like, it sounds cool, but I don't think I could ever get into it. So Destiny's like my version of that, and I love it. I think it's so great. Yeah, and again, that's a really social thing, and hopefully there's more of that brought into games in the near future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. Is that all our pieces of feedback?
That is all the pieces of feedback.
Well, thank you very much then for joining us for the first and hopefully not last IGN foursome. We'll have to like Photoshop Dan in here for the...
It was four-way at the start of the show. No, it's foursome.
Yeah, you've
changed your branding as well.
Yeah, it's all over the place, man.
Anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.